Acts chapter 8, if you'll look there with me tonight. Just going to continue a little bit with the theme of this morning. Expand on this just a little bit tonight, because this is a season of evangelism and outreach, a good time to be used of the Lord, and a really important time to be listening to the voice of the Spirit. Be attentive to the voice of the Spirit of God. How many of you know that God can talk to you? He can speak to you. And I know that primarily He talks to us through His Word. And but it's not a mystical thing to say that the Lord, by His Spirit, directed me or spoke to me or prompted me. That's you're not out in left field when you talk about that. I know that there might be some who would say the Lord is telling them to do things or to say things that might not necessarily be from God. But we can, as believers, born-again believers, filled with the Holy Ghost, we can be led of the Spirit. And it's really important to be led of the Spirit when it comes to soul winning and outreach and your concern for the lost. What an important thing that it is. We're going to read some verses here in the book of Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. Talked a little bit this morning about Saul and how that he was a hard case. He hated the church. He hated the message of the gospel. He wanted to bring destruction to the church. And he even came to the point that he murdered people. He sanctioned the murder of Stephen. He destroyed churches. He imprisoned men and women who were believers. He was like a madman running from place to place, destroying the work of God. But all it took was one encounter with Jesus to turn him around, completely turn him around. And if we can point folks to Jesus Christ and they can really have an experience with the Lord, their lives will be changed. And that's what we're praying for and asking the Lord to do. It says here, Acts chapter 8 and verse 3, "As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria, and preached Christ unto them. The people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies, and that were lame, were healed. And there was great joy in that city." I want you to just notice a few things here in this text. That while Saul, this was right after the martyrdom of Stephen. As a matter of fact, you back up a couple of verses and it talks about how that the devout men came and they carried Stephen away and buried him. And then the text where we read there, it describes what Saul was doing. He was like a madman destroying the church and making havoc of the church. Going into people's houses and hauling them off to prison, all because that they were followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. But notice here in verse 4, "Therefore they were scattered abroad, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word." You see, what Saul was attempting to do was to completely cut off the message of the gospel. He wanted to destroy the move of God and the growth of the church. And so he was an enemy of the church, and he was doing everything in his power to destroy the church. So the result was Christians scattered. They scattered. It's always been true of persecution. It's true right now in Iraq. It's true in Syria and others of those countries that where Christians have been running for their lives because of ISIS and these various terrorist groups that have murdered many, many, many believers and destroyed churches And so they're running for their lives, and many of them are in hiding places. Many of them are in camps outside of Syria and in different places because they had to run for their life. But this says that what Saul was wanting to do was destroy the church, but instead God worked through that and expanded the church and grew the church because they were scattered, and everywhere they went they preached the gospel and the church was expanded. But then in verse 5, it starts talking about Philip. Philip is known as an evangelist. Philip the evangelist went down to the city of Samaria. Now, there could be several conclusions as to why he went to Samaria. One would be that he would think that Saul, who was, a Jew who hated Christians, but he probably hated Samaritans just as bad or worse. So he might have thought, I'll go there because it's a good hiding place, and he probably won't go through Samaria because they treated the Samaritans like they had a disease. They didn't want to be around them. And so that might be one reason that he traveled down to Samaria to get away from the persecution. Or it could have been the Spirit of God directed him. And I like to think that that's really probably what happened, was that the Spirit of the Lord directed him. Why would I draw that conclusion? Well, when you read the rest of the chapter, you see just how sensitive and how directed by the Spirit that Philip is. He's so in tune with the work of God and the Spirit of God that he hears the voice of God and he goes and does what the Holy Ghost tells him to do. And I think it's such an important thing when it comes to evangelism that we be listening to the voice of the Lord, that we be attentive to the voice of the Spirit, that we first of all be filled with the Spirit, and that we be moving forward. Now Jesus, in the text that we read from John chapter 4 this morning, Jesus, he went to Samaria. He must needs, there was an urgency about it, not only going to Samaria, but the timing that he went. It's important, the timing of our reaching out to people. Sometimes there are people that are ready for the gospel. I mean, they're ready. They're ripe. They're ready to hear the gospel. Others, they shrug it off. I'm not interested in that. Don't want to go to church. Don't want to have anything to do with God. I don't believe the Bible. Resistant and not ready. But God is in the business of getting people ready. And he works through the work of the Spirit, convicting work of the Spirit. He works through those who are witnessing to them of the work of God in their lives, and he works in those that are hard and resistant. And timing is so important. That's why we need to be led of the Spirit, because there are some people that are just ready. I mean, they're ready. Jesus went to Samaria, and he traveled through Samaria, which was, as we mentioned this morning, it was a route that most Jews would never take. There were many other roads that they would have taken, but he went through Samaria, and he had an urgency about him in going there, and apparently he arrived there about the sixth hour of the day, which was at 12 noon, he arrived there. And some would say, well, he went to the well, to Jacob's well at Sychar, because there would be people gathering there, and a well was kind of a place where a lot of people would gather at different times of the day, and he went there to the well. You know, he went to that well to meet that one woman. The most common times that they would draw water, the women primarily would go and draw the water, was in the cool of the morning or in the cool of the evening. And the reason that this Samaritan woman went to the well at 12 noon, the hottest time of the day, was because she was an outcast. And she would have been rejected by everybody there. She had no social connection with anybody else. The Bible says Jesus knew exactly what was going on in her life. She had five husbands, and now she was living with someone that was not her husband. So she was living an immoral life. She was living a life that brought shame upon her. So she had to go to the well at the worst time of the day. And the Bible says that when Jesus arrived there, he was so physically weary that he sat down there at the well. And immediately, this woman showed up. To be led of the Spirit. Now, obviously, Christ is omniscient. He knew everything. He knows everything. There's nothing he does not know. But you and I are not omniscient. We don't know everything about people. We don't know what's going on in their lives. People put on a face, a facade, and it seems like everything's just going great in their life. But the Holy Ghost knows what's going on in their life. The Holy Ghost knows that they might be at that place that they are ripe and ready to hear the gospel. And so since you're not able to discern by your own ability when someone is ready to hear the gospel, you need to be led of the Spirit. You need to be filled with the Spirit and led of the Spirit so that whenever you move towards speaking to someone about the Lord, that you are directed of God to talk to them. That doesn't mean that there's ever a bad time necessarily to talk to people about Jesus. But there are certain people that are ripe and they're ready, and God wants to arrange the timing and the meeting and everything that's going on in their lives. He can bring you face to face with people at the perfect time that you need to listen to the voice of the Spirit and talk to them about Jesus. And don't be backward about that. I wonder how many of you are baptized, have been baptized in the Holy Ghost. You don't have to raise your hand. Sometime in your past experience, Christian experience, you've been filled with the Holy Ghost. For me, I was just a young kid, young teenage boy, when I received the Holy Ghost. But there have been many other times down through the years where there was a filling, a refilling, a bringing that experience up to date, it becoming fresh and real for that particular time and that season. And so I think that that's something really important. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8 describes why, the primary reason why we are baptized in the Holy Ghost. And there are many, many other reasons why that he has sent the Holy Ghost, the Comforter, and many other reasons. But in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, you shall receive the Holy Ghost. That's what the promise of Acts 1 and 8 is, that you will receive the power of the Holy Ghost, and you will become witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. So when Jesus planted the seed in the heart of that Samaritan woman who was the most unlikely person to be a witness or an evangelist. But Jesus planted the seeds of the truth of the gospel in her heart. And she had an awakening and an awareness and that she understood that truly this is the Son of God. This is Jesus, the Son of God. And she goes back to her home, goes back to her hometown. And there she says, come and see this man who's told me everything that I've ever done. He knows everything about me. And so that was the beginning of seeds being sown in Samaria. Jesus, in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, there is this it's prophetic that the Holy Ghost will come upon you and you shall be, you'll be witnesses unto me, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria. And Jesus was there for that woman. She seems like an unlikely person to be the person to have an effect upon her region. But yet God chose with this perfect timing and spoke to her, and she was saved. She was the unlikely candidate to ever be used of God. But God is always looking for people that he can use. Amen. And I know that sometimes people have a lot of things in their background and a lot of baggage in their life. But I want you to know that God puts his hand upon people and he uses people. And he uses people like Saul, who became Paul. Saul, who had murdered, and Saul that had destroyed the church and done all kinds of horrible things. But yet his life was turned around and God used him mightily. And we have most of the New Testament because the Apostle Paul. Telling you, God can use you, whatever your past is, whatever the problems of your past, put it all under the blood and move forward and let God use you. Amen. Let him use you. But we need to be Spirit-directed, Spirit-anointed. We need to understand the leadership of the Spirit of God. I believe in the promptings and the direction and the voice of the Spirit of God. You have to get quiet. You have to become attentive. You have to get to the place that you recognize the voice of the Spirit. Amen. That God is prompting you and directing you and showing you what you need to be doing. This is a common thread all throughout the New Testament church, that they were moved of the Holy Ghost. Paul and Barnabas, when they set out on their very first missionary work, the first missionary work in the New Testament, it was because of the voice of the Holy Ghost that spoke. The Bible says in Acts 13 and 2, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Paul, or Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And so in a prayer meeting, in a move of the Spirit, the Holy Ghost spoke and told that group of people, set Saul and Barnabas aside, because they have a purpose and a calling, and I want to send them forth. 2 verses later, in verse 4, it says, so they being sent forth by the Holy Ghost departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. Every move they were making, it was the direction of the Holy Ghost. That's why you need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm glad for the experiences we have. I'm glad for the times we have where we can enjoy the presence of God and praise the Lord and lift up our voices and shout praises unto God. That's not wrong. That's biblical. Yes, we need to do that. But we need to understand that the reason why that the Pentecostal experience was given to the church is so we would have power to carry on the message of the gospel. Because without it, we're not going to know what to do, what to say, when to say it, unless we listen to the voice of the Spirit of God. Later on, Acts chapter 16 and verse 6, they had gone through, these are on their, I think this was the second missionary journey, that they had gone through Perga and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. Why? Well, maybe if they had have preached there, they weren't ready for it yet. They might have been resistant to it. And so the Holy Ghost forbid them. They were already on their way to Galatia. They were on the road to Galatia. And the Holy Ghost said, not there, not now. You can't go there. And so it says that they traveled to Bithynia, and then the Spirit of God suffered them not to go there. And then that night, they had a dream. Paul had a dream. And in the dream, he saw the man in Macedonia saying, come over and help us. So it was the work of the Holy Ghost that was directing them in their missionary work and saying, go here, do this, don't go there. Follow my voice. Do what I'm commanding you to do. And so I just wanted to encourage you tonight to be led of the Spirit. First of all, to be filled with the Spirit, and then to be sensitive to the voice of the Spirit when it comes to reaching out to the lost and evangelism, and allow the Lord to direct your steps. Amen. And to show you what you need to do. Now, in this account here, in Acts chapter 8, the Bible says that Philip, after the persecution, and everybody was being scattered everywhere, the Bible says Philip went down to the city of Samaria. It's likely the very same place where Jesus, a few years before, had planted the seed of the gospel, and that little woman, who was an unlikely candidate to be used of God, was probably the one who sowed the seeds and said, this man knew everything that I have ever done. And she had learned about Christ and learned about the fact that he was providing her with a water and she would never thirst again. And so she received that experience and that reality. Her life was changed just a few years before. And now Philip goes to Samaria. I don't know how many years, but it couldn't have been very many years later. Philip goes to Samaria. He went down and began to preach Jesus to them. And notice the response, verse 6. And the people with one accord, that means all of them. People with one accord, they all gathered together. They gave heed unto those things which Paul spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. Unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out, many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies and that were lame were healed. Great joy came to that city. Why was it so easy in Samaria? Why did it go so easy there? Why is it that he went to Samaria and starts preaching the gospel and suddenly everybody with one accord responds? I believe it's because the seeds have been planted in the heart of that little woman years before. And as a result of that, those few years later, Philip just goes down there and their hearts are ready. They're ready. I mean, they're hungry. They're ready to hear the gospel. They're ready to respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ. The timing was perfect. It was arranged by God. It was arranged by the Spirit of God. So when he goes there, lives are changed. And great joy fills the city. I mean, there's such a revival in Samaria. And again, Samaria is an unlikely place for a revival. But there's such a revival there that they hear about it in Jerusalem. And when they hear, the apostles at Jerusalem, when they hear, Peter and John heard the reports of the revival, and it says that they came down to see what was going on and to check it out. It says, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. A lot of things were happening. They were receiving the gospel. They were getting saved, born again, healed, set free from demonic oppression and demonic possession. And I mean, God was doing some mighty works. And so these apostles came from Jerusalem to check out what's going on. And they began to preach to them the Holy Ghost and ask them if they had received, for as yet he was not fallen upon them. Verse 16. Only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. They laid their hands on them and they received the Holy Ghost. Let me tell you, Samaria was turned upside down. Glory to God. It was turned upside down. And it's such a revival, and one of the characteristics of this revival was just joy. Everybody was so joyful and happy because of what God was doing. People that were delivered in the work of the Spirit of God brings joy. But now look at verse 26. An angel of the Lord shows up and interrupts the revival. Verse 26. The angel of the Lord spoke unto Philip, saying, arise, go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. Now that doesn't sound like, surely that's not God, because we're in revival here, and everything's going great here, and the whole city is just rejoicing and full of joy. And now the angel of the Lord appears to Philip and says, go south, go down to Gaza. It's a desert, it's a dry place. Go down there. But there's no questioning, there's no arguing. The Bible just says that he immediately went and obeyed the voice of the angel of the Lord. Verse 27, he arose and went. Behold, a man of Ethiopia. Now this eunuch had traveled all the way from Ethiopia to worship at Jerusalem. And it was probably around 500 miles. Now he's traveling back and he's going across the desert. And the Spirit of God and the angel of the Lord speaks to Philip and says, go south. Go south. And he goes south and he has this chance encounter. Was it chance? No. No, it was the preparation of God. God had designed it and provided this meeting that was timed perfectly. Just like Jesus' meeting with the woman at the well, this was the perfect meeting time. I mean, he's traveling across and he's reading from the book of Isaiah chapter 53 about Jesus. And the Holy Ghost speaks to Philip and says, go draw near to the chariot. So he has to start hoofing it, you know, to go up beside him. Now this is pretty unique, don't you think? It's pretty amazing that he would listen to the voice of the Holy Ghost that says, okay, go run alongside that chariot. And he had to be so in tune with the Spirit and so full of faith to be willing to do that. He didn't know this man, and no doubt this man who took care of all of the, you know, he was like the treasurer for Candace. queen of the Ethiopians. He was a big, important person. And no doubt his chariots were not anything like they had seen anywhere else. And probably intimidating to him. But yet the Bible says that the Holy Ghost spoke to him and says, draw near. Draw near. And he draws near. And he begins to hear that he is reading from Isaiah 53. And Philip runs up beside him and says, do you understand? I'm paraphrasing. Do you understand what you're reading? And just get the picture here. To me, it's almost humorous. That he's just trotting alongside the chariot saying, hey, do you understand that? What you're reading there? Do you understand that? This was a Holy Ghost arranged meeting. Holy Ghost arranged. And he said, how can I accept some guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. So God arranged the meeting. Perfect timing, right in the middle of the desert. God knew that that eunuch was going to be there. God knew that he had a hungry heart. He was already ready. He was already reading from Isaiah 53. He had already come from the temple. And he just needed someone to point him in the right direction. And that's why Philip was sent from this great revival in Samaria to go and to give the gospel to this man. We don't know for sure, but most historians that you read about, they talk about how that this Ethiopian eunuch went back to Ethiopia and had a powerful effect upon the queen and upon the nation because he took the gospel back with him. He's explaining to him about Jesus, pointing him to Jesus. He says, all I'm reading here from Isaiah is this talking about Isaiah? Is this talking about the prophet? He said, no, this is talking about Jesus. This is talking about him. And he begins from that point in the scripture to explain to him and to point him in the right way. And I mean, faith rose up in that eunuch's heart. He believed in Jesus that quickly and said, okay, there's some water right there. Let's stop this chariot. Let's get this taken care of right now. And they both went down in the water and he was baptized. All of this was arranged by the Holy Ghost. Every bit of it was divinely arranged by the Spirit of God. That's why that as a church, you know, we have the name Pentecostal over our church, and I'm not ashamed of that. I believe that's who we are. Yes, we are to be Pentecostal, but we need to be filled with the Spirit of God, and we need to understand that God will direct us and help us to be right where we need to be. And he'll give us the words to say so that we'll know how. Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's all it took. There was a conversion that took place in that chariot. They both went down in the water, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip. Isn't that something? The Spirit of the Lord, I mean, the eunuch is looking all around the water, and what happened? Where'd he go? He never saw him again. Because he'd been translated by the Spirit of God. Sent him on to his next mission. Amen. His next mission. Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. I'm telling you, you can be led of the Spirit. And it's such a necessary thing to be led of the Spirit of God when it comes to reaching the lost. Evangelism is telling the good news. But it's more than just talking about Jesus. It's being directed, led of the Spirit, empowered of the Spirit to know what to say and when to say it at the right time so that when you do, it will hit the target. Amen. And bring about the results that we desire to see. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, I just pray, Lord, that you would stir our hearts tonight. Lord, in these coming days, that you would stir us so that we would see, Lord, that we are absolutely dependent upon you. And we need to be filled with your Spirit. If we're to be able to reach the lost, then we're going to have to be divinely directed. We need you, Lord, to give us the words to say. We need you, Lord, to direct us as far as the timing, Lord, and put us where we need to be at the right time, Lord, so that we can be used of you. Lord, we don't want to go forth powerless. We want to go forth led of the Spirit, empowered of the Spirit, proclaiming the message of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.